The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to another edition of Ask the Medical Expert, all concerning the great Peconic Medical Center, Peconic Bay Medical Center. Jay Oliver here, special guest today. We're going to focus on the pulmonary side of things with Dr. Nazir Lone. And we welcome Dr. Lone in to the program. Sir, I hope you're doing well. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jay, for inviting me to your show. I'm really humbled. And I listen to your radio talks, and you are one of the most recognizable voices in New York, and through your show, at least we can reach our patients and communities and help them to breathe better.
Thank you. If I can make one correction, one of the more recognizable voices in the world, but that's okay, Dr. Lone. We'll let you slide on that. By the way, I hope I have the pronunciation right of your name, sir. Is Dr. Nazir Lone correct?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Let's get into it, because Dr. Lone is an attending pulmonary and critical care medicine physician over at the great Peconic Bay Medical Center. Let's start out with this. You know, COVID, doctor, the impact on the lungs. And, we have heard so many different instances of this virus hitting so differently in some. And one of the ways is to attack the lungs, which is terrible. You have an underlying condition or something. But, you know, blood clots and everything else we hear, which is devastating. How should we keep our lungs healthy? You're the perfect guy to kind of ask to get us ready for these deadly viruses out there. How can we kind of keep ourselves in pretty good shape here?
Yeah, so basically, as you know, like you said, COVID is like a respiratory infection, which can range from a variety of manifestations, from being an asymptomatic stage to an acute respiratory failure to death in a very short period of time. Now, to keep your lungs healthy, the first most important thing is that stopping smoking is one of the most important things to keep your lungs healthy. Vaping in a teenage group actually causes damage to the lungs and then put your lung at higher risk of any other respiratory infection, including the COVID. Overcrowding can lead to increased, transmission of infection from person to person, putting the mask on because, it's a preventable disease. We don't have any perfect treatment for this yet. This disease can be prevented by physical distancing. This disease can also be, your lungs, every kind of disease has one basic mechanism that if you are very healthy person, that impact of the disease could be a little bit less compared to the people who already are compromised. So, keeping your diet, balanced diet, maintaining your weight, doing daily exercise makes your overall health better, and you can sometimes handle the disease in an easier fashion compared to someone who is not very healthy.
Question. Dr. Lone, we're about 6 months plus into this pandemic. I am sure you have seen some tough cases. On the average, what are you seeing regarding your specialty, pulmonary? We know it's a factor here and everything else. Patients-wise, what are you seeing on the average here?
So right now, as you know, New York was one of the first states to flatten, actually crush the curve. We are seeing very little cases. We have just few scattered cases in our hospital right now. But during the peak of that crisis, there was a lot of cases were flooding into the hospital with variety of illnesses, not only involvement of lung, but people with heart attack, people with stroke, people with pulmonary embolism, which is very kind of unique to this disease, which happens with some risk factor. But this disease leads to something called pulmonary embolism, and that's also one of the preventable causes of death. So it's very few cases, but, we are coming through fall, and and there is a possibility of collusion of flu illness as well as this second peak. So, but we are prepared at our Peconic Bay to deal with, if we have lots of cases.
No question, because, we know it hits the nasal cavity, this thing. We get a lot of different information on this. It varies, but we do know because of the references and the accentuated nature of wearing a mask and distancing, we know it hits the cavities, the nasal, the throat, the eyes even. And thus, that's why the lungs are at the center stage of it all, because that's where this thing will hit first if entering those cavities, correct?
That is correct. It's a droplet infection which you inhale, and the droplets can be absorbed through the eyes, and that's how the disease starts. There are some research coming out that it could be transmitted, but that is not, we are learning while we are facing this. It can be, through other body secretions, but that data is not, robust at this point. So I will say that right now the transmission is through this upper respiratory tract, which includes the nasal cavity, is a part of upper respiratory tract. That's true. And I also want to, as you asked me about the average number of patients, but I'm right now seeing many patients who had this illness who are having some difficulties in breathing. They were perfectly healthy people who had this COVID infection. Now they are facing the consequence of this infection. They are sometimes short of breath. Some are facing the consequences of that pulmonary embolism and have some, fatigue, tiredness, decreased exercise capabilities, feeling unwell, wheezing. So all these patients, I see every other day, I see a few patients in my outpatient practice. So it has not only acute consequences, it has some kind of long-term consequences also.
Yeah, what about those with asthma? You're talking to one of them. I've had asthma since a kid, although I rarely get any type of situations involved with it. But you're also talking to a guy who got COVID. And that was one of the first things I thought of. Compromised somewhat because of the asthma condition from as a kid. Did you see a lot of that? Those who have suffered from asthma and potentially, with getting this virus, well, that could be deadly.
And, Jim, first of all, looking at you, I heard that interview with one of our physicians when you said, disclosed that you had COVID and you were going for some surgical repair also. But, I'm very glad that you recovered from this illness in a very healthy way. And that is what many people recover from this illness. It depends upon how stable is your asthma. See, the respiratory epithelium, the linings of our respiratory tract, they face this injury, which is an oxidant injury from anything like smoking, inflammation, asthma, and it depends upon how healthy you are, what is the balance between your oxidant levels and the antioxidant levels in the body. So I assume that your asthma from the childhood must have been very stable. And you may have mild infection, and you were healthy at baseline, and you recovered very well. Yes, to answer that question, yes, you are right that people with asthma can have severe illness with this, and their recovery could be either normal or they could have some lingering effect like exacerbation of asthma, increased use of inhalers. Some people may become oxygen dependent. So I have seen some of those cases.
Yeah, no doubt, and you're right. I got through it fine. I was lucky. A little minor surgery. It was a hernia, but, still in surgery. But nonetheless, Dr. Lone, I guess the thing that really prepared me over the years was exercise. I've always been told, a little running, strengthening the lungs a little bit, that's going to help you in the long run. And that's something that I really prescribe to. Do you tell that to patients as well who have such conditions?
Yes, actually, you are on track. So this is very important, the exercise. We have actually at Peconic Bay something called pulmonary rehabilitation program, in which we bring these patients, including post-COVID illness, where we help them to exercise more, to improve their motor function so that their metabolic parameters and their quality of life gets better. You are right that it increases, like, you know, just deep breathing exercise, like yoga for deep breathing, improves the lung capacity. There is always something called surfactant in the lung, which can increase, which can, reform with exercise. So deep breathing exercise, running, keeping your lungs strong is one way to go, and that also helps to, mitigate some of the after effects of this illness.
Dr. Lone, we will continue. We're going to take a short break. Dr. Nazir Lone is my guest. Great information. Pulmonary critical care, he knows it all, over at the great Peconic Bay Medical Center. Jay Oliver here as the medical expert. We'll get back to that questioning right after this. We're back. Jay Oliver here. Round two. Ask the medical expert, the great Peconic Bay Medical Center. Another edition with a great doctor, Dr. Nazir Lone, attending pulmonary and critical care medicine physician over at PBMC. We're talking about the lungs, keeping them healthy, especially during these tough times of the coronavirus. And just wrapping up a little bit of exercising, how good it can be for you. Strengthening those lungs just in case. Doctor, let's get into, long-term effects, because I've heard some horror stories here, people who have gotten COVID, who have recovered, yet not 100%, because they're still feeling the effects, especially when it comes to breathing and lungs and everything else. What have you found in that regard?
So far, what we know from some autopsy studies from China or from other areas, one is it can cause something called rapidly progressive fibrosis, meaning scarring of the lung, which can, lead to some long-term consequences of the use of oxygen, inability to, do exercise, short of breath, chronic cough. And there are like millions of alveoli, like almost 300 million of alveoli in the lung, and each of these alveolar units is required for breathing, like oxygen exchange and removal of carbon dioxide. If you lose many of those alveoli during the scarring process of COVID, you can become, compromised in breathing long term. The second, which I was telling you about, the clotting phenomena, microthrombus, like these are small clots which form in the capillaries of the lungs, can also lead to some strain in the right heart and can lead to, some of those consequences of heart failure, problems in your breathing, and then you require medications to treat those medications, and medications also have some long-term consequences. So from a normal, healthy life, you can be really a ill person for a long period of time.
No question. Dr. Nazir Lone with us talking pulmonary here. So I guess let's kind of backtrack a little bit as far as when one should see a pulmonologist like yourself. I'll give you my personal experience. I told you about the asthma, the breathing and everything else came into play. I probably needed a new inhaler. I might have had to been on the machines to test the levels and everything else. And that's when I took action there. Is that pretty much the case? And maybe a couple other things you could point out.
Let me put it this way. When should someone see a lung doctor? Let us talk about the most common disease of the lungs, like chronic obstructive lung disease, or what you call emphysema also, or asthma also. So the way I look at the disease is every disease has kind of three points in time where you can impact the health of the lungs. One is the prevention of the disease. People should see a pulmonary doctor in case they want to prevent the development of pulmonary disease. For example, people who are smokers who want to get enrolled into the smoking cessation program, or people who are vaping want the help from the doctor how they should try to remove this habit from their life. So that's the preventative aspect of a pulmonary medicine. Then comes the treatment part, like use of inhalers, like people with asthma, people with COPD, people who have shortness of breath from any reason, people who have chronic cough, allergies, people who have recurrent pulmonary infections, who are immune compromised, like people on chemotherapy developing some kind of shortness of breath and cough. They should see the pulmonary physician. And then post-COVID, like we were talking about the rehabilitative phase, like prevention, treatment, and rehabilitation, people who have after effects of any pulmonary disease. Like, you know, I'm very glad that you have recovered well, but, you know, I will suggest that you should also see your pulmonologist in 1 year to get another pulmonary function testing, just to make sure that the asthma has not gotten, because you are young, healthy, so you may not notice some of the changes which is happening in the body. So basically, just get the pulmonary function test done in 1 year. Make sure you are on right inhaler. Sometimes people are see a pulmonologist once and then they don't follow up for a long period of time. Maybe the time has come for these people to step up the treatment of asthma or step down the treatment of asthma because they have improved. So those are some of and people with lung cancer, people who want to, we have lung cancer screening program at Peconic Bay. It is similar like mammograms and colonoscopies for early detection of cancer. This is a new program, which is previously there was nothing diagnostic in people with lung cancer. It's a deadly cancer. We have this lung cancer screening program in which we screen with low-dose CT scans. People who have smoked for more than 15 years, their age is between 55 or 76, in which we detect these early cancers and can cure people from lung cancer. So pulmonary medicine covers a wide variety of disease. As you know, like we should not take lung only in the isolation. The lung diseases impact other systems. Like if I have bad lungs, my oxygenation is low, it is going to impact my cognitive system also, because brain is dependent on oxygen. Our heart is dependent on oxygen. Each and every cell of our body, the food for our cells is oxygen, and that the mechanism is the lungs through which we take this oxygen inside into our blood and the body. So it can cause right heart strain. It can impact the cognitive function, as I said. It can impact the neuromuscular function and cause muscle weakness because of lack of oxygen to the muscle cells. As you know, you are a person who does a lot of exercise. When the anaerobic metabolism starts in the body, how much fatigued and tired and painful our legs get. So if your lungs are bad, your oxygen is low, that is going to impact your day-to-day living. So it's a broad specialty and can cover many different areas of disease.
It's a great explanation, Dr. Nazir, along with us. Let's switch gears a little bit, Doc. Talk to me. I hear so many great things regarding the Corey Critical Care Pavilion. I mean, how do you think having this thing has benefited the folks on the east end of the island? I hear so many great things about the Corey Critical Care deal. Tell us about that.
So, I have worked in many different ICUs, and looking from other different ICUs. First of all, I want to thank Corey Foundation, our leadership also, Mr. Mitchell, Ms. Amy Loeb, as well as our Northfield community for building this tower. If you look at let us talk about the structure of this tower. In an ICU, you require really state-of-art rooms in which there is a lot of space for keeping the equipment. There is soundproof system, the lighting system where people or the patients do not have any accidents or falls. So it is a very well-designed, large, spacious rooms for the patients. We have rooms for families. It has, and in addition to that, it is staffed by 24/7 coverage from us as board-certified intensivists. We have a very knowledgeable and experienced physician assistant intensivist. They cover for 24 hours. We have a backup tele-ICU system from the Northfield community who cover in case, I get busy with two patients at the same time. I have a backup also. So we have also in that building, it's very ease of access is very easy. Like we have ER at the first floor. Then we have a cardiac catheterization lab at the third floor. We have this ICU level at the second floor. the ease of access to the patients is so easy and quick. The transport mechanism is quick. We also have, a helipad on the top of the building in which if, we are not the biggest hospital in the New York City, so we have our own limitations. So if we feel that someone needs an advanced or high level of care, like a tertiary care, we have the ways and means to transfer this patient to a higher level of care. But basic critical care, we are very good at it. We have, septic shock we treat. We treat acute heart failure. We do cardiac catheterization. So people do not have to go long distances because, you need family around you when you are very sick. So it's definitely a very good addition to the East Long Island to help people who become critically ill. Our outcomes are very good. We try to maintain our central line infection close to zero. We have very little kind of catheter-related bloodstream infections. We have very little urinary tract infections. Our nursing staff is so great and passionate to work. And so I think I am really liking working here, and the design, the structure, the staff, the spacing, everything looks very good at this point.
I can't thank you enough. It sounds like you got a great situation going. We can't thank you enough for the great work you do as far as pulmonary and critical care. And listen, I invite you on my morning show anytime you want. You got carte blanche, my friend. So keep that in mind. Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Nazir Lone, ladies and gentlemen. The Conic Bay Medical Center. Jay Oliver here. Ask the medical expert. We had a good one on just now. I'll see you again next week. Have a great rest of your day.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.